Joshing around a bit this morning, so we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1, but we're going to be moving around, but we'll start in 1 Peter chapter 1, so it's on page 1218, in the Chapel Bibles, if you've got one handy. There's some more on the shelf if you've not got one next to you. So we start in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 23 to 25 in a moment. Page 1218 in the Chapel Bibles. So as you find that, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your words. And Father, we come with hearts and minds open and attentive to hear your voice. I thank you that you are the God who speaks. May we hear. May anything that's just in the way of us hearing your word, anything that's cluttering our minds, things that we're distracted by, just ask, Lord, that in these moments your peace would descend upon our hearts and minds, that they may be open to receive your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, little test for you this morning. Can anyone tell me the last five words of Alan's sermon from last Sunday? Can Alan tell me the last five words of his sermon from last Sunday? Or Alana. Yeah, yes. So, Alan's, according to the website, it was Alan's twin sister, Alana, for a while, till I got corrected. But anyone tell me the last five words? I'm sure you can't, because I can't remember the last five words of any sermon I've ever preached. But I did listen to it, and the last five words were these. Live holy by his word. Live holy by his word. And I listened to the sermon in the week, and those, it was a great message, but those last five words just landed with me. Live holy by his word. So that's where we're going this morning. Over this summer season, we've been sort of doing one-off sermons. So we've not had a series. So we've literally been going kind of, you know, week to week, just trying to hear the Lord. And that landed. Live holy by his word. So that's where we're going this morning. And we're going to start with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. For you have been born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Peter's quoting from Isaiah 40, you see it in the footnote, but just notice the contrast between all people are like grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. We are temporary, but the word of God stands forever. The psalmist in Psalm 103 kind of expounds it slightly differently. Psalm 103, verse 15. The psalmist says, as for us, our days are like grass. We flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So it's the same thing, this contrast between our reality before Christ, that we are temporal. We're like a flower of the field. We're here one moment and then we're gone. But the contrast is with God's everlasting word, his everlasting love. I was thinking about this week and just reflecting on just the fact that we are all flesh. We are very temporal. I was just, you know, headline news this week because, you know, this terrible tragedy last weekend with this yacht, the Bayesian, sinking. And the thing that struck me was that because it was a super yacht and because they were famous and rich, it's been headline news every day of the week. But when a overcrowded dinghy sinks in the channel, we might get the number. You know, five people drowned in the channel. or 50 people drowned in the Mediterranean. We have a curious way of putting value on life. If you're rich and famous, then somehow your life seems to count, count for more. But we are all like grass. It doesn't matter whether you're in a dinghy or a super yacht. We're all like grass. And separated from the word of God, our destiny is the same. The grass withers and the flowers fall. And it's only when we come into kind of alignment with the word of God that changes. Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, he's talking to his disciples. He says, are not two sparrows bought for a penny? Yet not one falls to the ground without your Father. In other words, we're all known to God, and we're all loved by God. And God desires nothing more than for us to come into relationship with him. And so he reveals himself. And he reveals himself through his word. So I want to think a little bit more about that this morning. The word of the Lord, which stands forever. What is that word of the Lord? Remember the beginning of John's gospel, John chapter 1. How does John introduce Jesus to us? Or this deliberate echo of the beginning of Genesis. John begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So God loves to speak. That's why God always speaks about his word, because he loves to speak. He loves to give revelation. And he gives his primary revelation through his son, Jesus. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, expounds these verses. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Sort of Paul goes on. He says, who is this Jesus? Well, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So when we think about the word of the Lord, we're thinking about God's divine revelation of himself. And primarily God has revealed himself through his son, Jesus. John's gospel again, John chapter 1 verse 14. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God wants us to know as much as we are able to understand. He wants us to understand who he is. He wants us to understand his character. He wants to rescue us. He wants us to be able to bring our lives back into alignment with our original creation. He wants us to reflect his image as we were originally created to do. And so he gives revelation of himself. He gives perfect revelation of himself through his son Jesus. And then he gives revelation of himself through his word. Remember Paul writing to his young protege, Timothy. His young protege, Timothy. And he writes a couple of letters to this young Christian to encourage him. And he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, this very famous verse. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God reveals himself through his word, the word of the Lord. Jesus is the word of the Lord embodied, the divine revelation. But this book is God's divine revelation. Every word of it, inspired and infallible, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Imagine that you were able to physically hold Jesus this morning. Imagine that you were able to embrace the divine revelation embodied in the person of Jesus, his beauty, his holiness, his authority. Remember all those folk in the Old Testament who, when they thought they had come face to face with God, thought they would die. Because who could come face to face with the living God, with his holiness, and live? Imagine that we were able to hold Jesus in that way, the divine, perfect revelation. And yet here we are with this book in our hands, this divine revelation of God's word. This is not just any book, this is a holy, holy book. Gandhi was once quoted as saying this. He says, "You Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. But you treat it as though it is nothing more than a piece of literature." What a challenging thing to hear. You treat it as though it was nothing more than a piece of literature. One of the things that I'm not going to look, just in case any of you have done this, I'll give you a moment to correct your error. But one of the things that upsets me these days is when I see a Bible on the floor. So I'll just give you a moment, in case you've done that, just to pick it up. It upsets me when I see a Bible on the floor, because I wouldn't put Jesus on the floor. I was challenged by this a few years ago. I was travelling in one of the countries that I visit, and I'd forgotten to take my satchel that I normally carry my Bible in. And we arrived at a church, and in this country, when you go to church, you take your shoes off. So I had to take my shoes off, which meant I had to do something with my Bible. And almost without thinking, I put it down on the step. And immediately my friend snatched it up, and he said, "You can't do that. Not here. Not in this country. Not with that book." And I felt the rebuke and the challenge of, this book is holy. So I never, you're going to be watching me now, I never put my Bible on the floor, even when it's inconvenient and I have to just sit with it on my lap. I'm like, this is God's divine revelation. This is infallible. Every word of it is true. Every word of it speaks to us. Alan said, live holy by his word. Live holy by his word. It has power. It has authority. Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. He says this, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." When God speaks, he speaks to achieve something. The word that goes out from his mouth will not return empty. When we proclaim this word, when we preach this word, when we tell it to others, it doesn't return empty. It has power. Gandhi said, this is like dynamite. This is like dynamite to turn the world upside down. I was speaking to some friends yesterday at Wildfires who have some connection with one of the big Christian publishing houses, St. Andrews. And they were saying that St. Andrews Bookshop are printing and distributing more Bibles than they can ever remember doing, because there is such a thirst for God's word. And they are printing and distributing more Bibles than they've ever printed. And the statistics that are coming back is that more than three times more people are coming to faith in Jesus simply by reading the word of God than they are by attending an Alpha course. Which is not to say we shouldn't run Alpha courses, because we are going to have an Alpha course in the autumn. But this book is living and active. It has authority. You remember the lovely story of David Suchet. He was in a hotel in America and picked up his Gideon's Bible and started reading it and came to faith in the Lord Jesus, because God speaks. We must not be ashamed of this book. Peter, right, is it Peter? So I always have so many tags, I sometimes get a bit lost. No, Hebrews. Close, they're near each other. Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews says this. Chapter 4, verse 12. "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's terrifying. Well, it's terrifying if you don't know the Lord, because everything is going to be exposed. All these things that you think you've kept hidden, well, they're not hidden at all. Penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The word of God is a light that illuminates our lives. It shines light on the darkness in our lives. And while that's uncomfortable, I'd rather have the light shone now than on the day of judgment when it's too late. I'd rather be uncomfortable now. I'd rather have my sin exposed now. I'd rather have my failings exposed now by the word of God than on the day of judgment when it's too late. But this is what God's word does. It speaks into our hearts. It speaks into our lives. It exposes things that are untrue. God's word is powerful. What did Alan say? Live wholly by his word. It's his word that brings the good news of the revelation of Jesus. It's his word that brings the good news of Jesus' death on the cross. It's his word that brings revelation of the fact that we are lost without the Lord Jesus. And it's only in him that we find life and life in all its fullness. Let me just go to a parable that you'll be very familiar with. We've sang a song about it this morning. Jesus speaking in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built their house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built their house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash." So we understand the power and the importance of the word of the Lord. Jesus could not make it any plainer. In the Old Testament, when the people of God are about to enter into the promised land and Joshua is given instruction about how to prepare to enter into the promised land. And the promised land is the place of prosperity. It's the place where if they live their lives in alignment with God's will, then they will be blessed. So what's one of the instructions that Joshua is given before they embark on this journey into the promised land? Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." That's the revelation that they have, the book of the law. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Then you will be prosperous and successful. Don't let this book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it day and night. That's what we're meant to do with the word of the Lord, is meditate on it day and night. If we do that, then our lives will be built on a rock. The problem is we don't do it, which is why we keep getting blown about all over the place. The statistics for Bible reading amongst Christians are desperate, to be honest. When you look at the statistics of how often Christians read their Bibles, the statistics are quite depressing when you think that this is God's divine revelation. This is the book of life. This is the book that gives us revelation of God's love, of God's purposes. This is the book that will help us. And yet we don't meditate on it day and night. And then we wonder why when a storm comes, we get blown down. Because if you don't put your feet on the rock before the storm comes, or when the storm comes, you might get blown away. So Jesus couldn't make it any plainer, could he? Do you want to be a wise person who builds their house on a rock? You know, we read it, we think, "Oh yeah, no, that's true. I should do that." And then we don't. We get blown away. 9 years ago, Some of you know bits and pieces of story. When my, because I've been a Christian a long time and I've read God's word a lot, but sometimes you have to be very intentional. And I think particularly in the days in which we live, we need to become more intentional about building our house on the rock, because the days in which we live are more challenging. But 9 years ago, when my marriage was coming to an end, and some of you know all of that story and just the pain of that journey and of that season. And when I look back 9 years, my house nearly fell down. And it came a lot closer to falling down than you'll ever know. But it came very close to falling down because it was a storm. And I knew, as I was in that storm, the only way I will come out the other side is by putting my feet on the rock. And I need to choose to do that intentionally. So I printed out, I dug it out this morning. I printed out my little sheet of truths. Because every morning, when I woke up in the morning, I would read my book, my little thing of truths, and I put my feet on the rock. And that was how I would get through that day. And then the next day I would wake up and I'd read it again. And I'd get me through the next day. Because that's what we need to do. That's what Jesus tells us we have to do. I won't read the whole thing. But it just says, remember today these things that are true. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Now, if you're in the middle of a storm, that's a great comfort if it's true. Well, it's in God's word, so it's true. So even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. I won't read them all. But that's the thing, isn't it? God's given us everything that we need to live this life and to withstand the storms. And what was it Alan said? Live holy by his word. Holy. Not part-time. Not when it's convenient. Not when it's helpful. This is God's divine revelation. It's the most beautiful book in the world. It's a love story. It's a love letter. It gives life. Why would you not? Well, I mean, I know, you know, some of the bits in Leviticus, they're a bit of a drag, but you know, why would you not want to read the book of life? Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. Well, how do you find that fullness? Well, you read the book. It's like, it's sort of, but we don't do it. Meditate day and night. So that's all I wanted to say really this morning, was just live holy by his word. Live holy by his word. Build our lives on the rock. And, you know, so much of the church is being swept away because it's not rooted in God's words. And so often our lives are, if they're not swept away, they're battered and buffeted. And in those seasons, we need to be very intentional about choosing to stand on the rock of who he is and the rock of his revelation. So let's take a moment to pray. And just allow the Lord for a few moments just to continue to speak by his Spirit. To continue to give us revelation. Continue to challenge us and confront us with truth. Father, thank you that this little chapel was founded on a group of people whose only purpose was to gather around your word and to study your word, the book of life. And Father, thank you that by your grace, that's still what we are. That's still our foundation as a church, rooted in your word. But Father, I pray for each one of us and each person who is part of this community, who worships here. that we may become more and more intentional in reading your word, in resting in your divine revelation, of feeding on the truth that you've provided for us. And Lord, even this morning, if we just need a fresh nudge to turn to your word more regularly than we are, may we not hear a word of condemnation, but just a word of conviction that you want us to have life in all its fullness. And your word is the means by which you encourage us in that. So, Holy Spirit, encourage us and help us to encourage one another. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.